shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
By Ted's of Beverly Hills. If you want a steak, I mean, if you want the best meat you've ever had that passed between your lips,
here at Ted's,
that's the place.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
Sports of the Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills, and welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. You're invited to participate in the conversation tonight. Ted Bell joining us about a very deadly serious topic, Ted, without any question.
It's very serious for the state, and I think the entire country needs to take it seriously.
That is the $10 billion budget shortfall that the state of California has. Now, we recognize that it's important for California, just as any budget shortfall would be important for any state. But why should the country, for that matter, care about that?
Well, Phil, I think that the United States, the American people, have a vested interest in California in much the same way that we all had a vested interest in New York. We saw what happened in New York on 9/11. It was something that shocked each and every one of us. I don't think it's anything we're ever going to forget about, and certainly will stay with us for the rest of our lives. But the same token, by the very same token, California is that symbol. Whereas New York is the Big Apple, California is the promised land. Whereas New York is the center of commerce and trade, California is the center of our, it's the center of our hopes and our dreams and our futures. Whereas New York is in many ways the embodied history of the United States, California is the embodied future of the United States. Why do I say this? Because, as you mentioned, Bill, and I think it transcends governors, to be honest with you. We have Jerry Brown, who is the governor of this state. I don't particularly like him, but that's not anything that I wanted to come on this program. Jerry Brown is Jerry Brown.
And well, we're not. You don't want to turn this into a political thing, do you?
No, what I'm saying is the state has a $10 billion budget shortfall. The state, there's a difference between, and I don't mean to talk down, I'm sure people do understand what it is I've tried to say, but there's a difference between what the money is that California has and how much we need. The difference is $10 billion. How can we make this up? Well, we can continue to fire people, and we can continue to...
Let's talk about, what about the illegal alien situation?
All right, hold on for just a minute, okay? That is politically charged, and you don't want to go there. It's politically charged, you don't want to go there.
And if you're asking for the $10 billion, Ted, okay,
yes.
Why can't we put everything on the table as to what it is that we need to get rid of?
You don't want to. The illegal alien question is filled with lots of pitfalls. There's a lot of mines. There's a lot of traps. There's a lot of potholes. Don't go there. Don't go there. You know how many businesses there are in the state of California that do rely on the illegal alien? If you take them out of here, you might as well take the entire state and flush it down a toilet. And I know that's not what the American people want to do.
Wait, I don't accept that, okay?
Well, I don't care what you accept.
No, I will not accept that this status here of the millions of illegals that are here, that are being paid for, regardless of whether or not they're working, regardless of whether or not they're putting taxes into the system. The fact is, there are social services that go to support people that are not legally in the United States. Now, you're going to have people asking questions like that. If you're asking the American people, which is this what I'm leading, what you're leading up to?
What I'm leading up? You just said you're leading up to what?
Are you leading up to...
I'll tell you, yes, that's what I'm leading up to. The American people need desperately to begin to see the reality of this situation. We can't afford to refuse to accept the situation.
And why is this the American people in total? Why is that their problem?
Because, again, as I told you, America, California is the shining city on the hill. California has been the future of this country for so many years. For so long, and it is a country that must recognize this. We are asking that the American people, through their largesse, through their well-known charity, through their ability to see when there is a problem, yes, we're asking that this shortfall be made up in terms of a federal tax so that California makes its $10 billion and can continue to function well into the future. And
how would this money be acquired?
Well, you're saying that in a very excuse me for saying this, Phil, but I want to just, you're very sober when you say that. I thought you were going to attack me again with the illegal alien thing.
Well, it's not an attack, Ted, but I'm telling you, people are going to
No, I know what people are. I'll deal with what people say. I don't think it's a very difficult argument to have with anybody. They're going to say, oh, what about the illegal aliens and how much they cost? You know how you deal with that? You know what you say to people when they say, what about all the illegal aliens in California and how much they cost? Why don't you put a control on that before you ask us for $10 billion? You know how you deal with that?
How?
You say to them, guess what? That's a political hot potato. That is an atomic bomb. Don't go near it. Don't go near it. That's how you deal with that.
And people aren't going to take that for an answer.
Yeah. Well, no, no. Yes, they will take it for an answer because it's a political hot potato. Now, California is facing a budget crisis, and the idea here is to federally tax the income tax returns of Americans till we make up the $10 billion. It could be a set fee, a flat fee, a percentage.
And is this something that we pass by way of law? Is there a referendum? What do you see? How do you propose to go to the American people and say, oh, and by the way, you are going to make up the $10 billion shortfall for the state of California?
You say it the same way. You ask people, would you pay money for the Statue of Liberty to get it fixed? Yes. Would you pay money for the Capitol building? Yes. Would you?
You're putting California.
Hold on for a minute. Would you pay money to fix the Lincoln Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix the Jefferson Memorial? Yes. Would you pay money to fix California? Yes.
And so you're putting California on the same plane as the Lincoln Memorial? And
yes, of course I am. Why? I think that an argument can be made that.
What about all the other states that may have a budget shortfall?
Name one.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, most certainly. Name one.
Missouri.
Missouri is not. Boy, you really want to go there, don't you?
You said to name one, okay? Are you going to tell me that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, but Missouri isn't?
No, Missouri is not. Missouri is a great state. But it's no one thinks of Missouri when you think of a state that equals the Washington Monument. No state equals the Washington Monument except a few. California, the state of New York, perhaps. I don't know. It's very Texas, you know.
So you're naming off states that seem to have some currency in the lore of American history.
Well, that's a very fancy way of saying states that were important to the history of this country.
All the states were important to the history of this country. You talk about Missouri, it was central to the history of this country for a great many years.
Yeah, if you want to go back 150 years, Phil, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to be reasonable, and I'm trying to tell the people that are listening to your broadcast tonight that when they look at the state of California in much the same way that one might look at the state of Texas, if you will, or Alaska, or Yosemite National Park, the Grand Tetons, Mount Rushmore. These are institutions. California is that, and I don't think it's a very high price to pay to know that you live in a country with a California. To come up with the money that we need to make sure that California does not go bust, to make up that $10 billion shortfall. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's one businessman out here in California, Ted, from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Be mighty glad you did. And that's what we're asking.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The proposition here that the American taxpayer, it's not going to happen.
Why do you say that?
Well, you're not going to get people are so anti-tax right now that to say to them $10 billion in new taxes for the state of California that you're going to take out of the people. Okay, Washington State has a budget shortfall of $5.3 billion. What do you think about we kick in for Washington?
What was the state again?
Washington State.
You know, Phil, with all due respect, if you're trying to get me to insult Washington State, and
no, I'm asking you, if California is deserving of the money, why isn't Washington State?
That's not California. I don't think I do. I gotta point that out. Washington State is Washington State. What do you think of when you think of Washington State? I think of apples. That's about it.
I think of Seattle. I think of the Space Needle.
No, you don't think of the Space Needle.
Yes, I do, when I think of Washington State.
You think of apples. Apples. That's what you think of. apples, big ripe, big, you know, the big apples they got. That's what you think of. When you think of California, what do you think of? Movie stars, the film business. You think about without California, there wouldn't have been television. Without California, there was no film business. And quite frankly, Phil, without California, you don't have an agricultural industry. And
How do you say that? Okay, that, you know, you could probably make an argument for the other things you said.
I'll tell you how you say that. California showed the rest of the country how to grow stuff right. You know, for the longest time, the United States was a great... We've always been a great country when it came to agriculture. Always a great country when it came to growing things. But we didn't know our... Excuse me for saying this. We didn't know our ass from a hole in the ground until California, in the San Joaquin Valley, started to grow stuff. And we grew, and the stuff we grow, and the apples and all, everything. You talk about the apples they have in Washington. I don't know anything about agriculture, okay? You've got me at a disadvantage. But I will tell you this. California, as an industry, showed the rest of the world, here's how you grow a crop, okay? You people have been walking around with your thumbs parked for centuries. Now we're going to show you here, wheat. This is how you see. Look at that. There's a corn on the cob. That's what we did. How do you build a road? California finally said, can we show you how to build a road? Because we've been butchering that job, too. How do you build a building? Can we show you how to build a building so it doesn't fall down? Can we show you how to... I mean, you name it, California has taught the world. And what do we get in return? We're insulted. We're told we're drug addicts. We're told we're flakes. We're told we're rapists and murderers and serial murderers. That's what we get. No respect. No one to say thank you, California, for showing the way. Thank you for being the land of milk and honey. Thank you for being the leader when it came to showing the world how to do stuff like take a picture, build a toilet, you name it.
Well, I mean, if it wasn't for California, then human civilization would never have progressed.
I'm not saying that. What I'm trying to say is that many of those innovations came from this state. So the federal government needs to make up that $10 billion shortfall with the tax dollars of the American citizen, with our thanks, with our apologies, but more with our saying, you know, it's about time. Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah, about time. You know, you're going to get a lot of people just hate California more than they do.
Well, no, I am not.
Yes, you are, by saying it's about time. 877-876-PHIL, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. This segment sponsored by Ted's of Beverly Hills, a great steakhouse in Beverly Hills. And we're talking about California's $10 billion budget shortfall. How do we make it up? In the mind of Ted and others, a federal tax. That means you, Mr. and Mrs. Taxpayer, you make it up, because California has been, for so long, the leader, the trendsetter, the industrial leader, the agricultural leader, the commercial leader, for a very, very long time. It is a symbol of this country, not unlike the Lincoln Memorial. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more here. Ted Bell wanting non-California residents to be taxed to fix the state's budget problem. What do you think about his idea? Would you ever allow a portion of your paycheck to fix California? 877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And this portion of the Phil Henry Show brought to you by Ted's of Beverly Hills. And this quarter hour, we're going to talk about the 50 states and why America really needs to help California make up that budget shortfall. Let's talk about the other states in the United States.
Ted Bell with us here. Now, you wanted to do what?
What I wanted to do is a little something different. I've got a list of the 50 states. And when you think of California, and what are we talking about this hour in the Phil Henry Show here with Ted Bell? What we're talking about, really, Phil, is the fact that California, in all of the many ways that California does business, in the many ways that California enjoys itself, we represent the very finest, the very furthest, the very highest of achievement. If California is to survive, America really needs to help out.
And well, there's no real, I do see precedent, obviously. There's been a stimulus that's helped out business.
When that guy Koch went to the federal government and asked money for New York, and they told him to drop dead and blow away. That was the worst, and I think America can make it up now. For a state like California to go begging, while the rest of these states talk about how solvent they are, well, of course you're solvent. You've got three people. You know, it doesn't make any sense. We've got more people than any other state in this country. And, you know, and we've given people more fun. The things we've done and the fact that we have to beg.
Well, California, there's nothing in the Constitution that says people are supposed to donate money to California.
What I'm saying is, no, there's nothing in the Constitution. I know there's nothing in the Constitution.
All right, but you're talking about how California's got to beg. I mean, no, they don't. They can simply do business so they make up the $10 billion.
Oh, simply do business. $10 billion. How do you do that? Okay.
Well, one of the things that's going on that I absolutely agree with, they are not going to pay the California legislators until they come up with a balanced budget.
They're going to. Those people are going to go home starving to death. That is not a way to do business.
Yes, it is. You tell those people. That's why we elected you. Balance that budget.
No, they. And if they can't, then what?
Then you don't pay them.
And then they don't get paid, and then their families don't eat, and now you've got dead bodies in a house in Sacramento. Do you want that?
What are you talking about?
Did you just say they're not going to pay the California legislators?
Yeah.
You've got dead, rotting bodies in Sacramento. That's what you want. That's what everybody in America...
What dead, rotting bodies?
The California legislators that...
Oh, come on, man. Some of these people get... Come on.
Oh, come on, man. You know, Phil, don't bite off more than you can... Well, I won't say. But
you know, no, Ted, I'll tell you what. Don't you bite off more than you can chew. You're talking about the California legislators took a job. If they can't balance that budget, you can't go to the rest of the country and say, hey, we're so sorry, we can't balance our budget.
What did you say, balance? What is that, balance?
Balance the budget. Can you help us with that? So that, A, we balance our budget, and, B, our California legislators don't have to stop being paid. And to say that because they don't get paid, they'll be dead, rotting bodies.
Did you hear the... Apparently, you don't stay close to the news. Did you hear about Casey Anthony? You know that.
Where are we going now?
I'm asking... I'm the sponsor this hour. Would you humor me, Phil? Did you hear about Casey Anthony?
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
Well, you know they could smell a dead body in the car. You know that?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to smell in Sacramento?
You're not going to have that kind of disaster on your hands if you don't pay the California state legislators their money. You're not going to have dead, rotting bodies.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Hildon. Hey! Thank you, Quincy. You know, for all of the stuff that I...
You're not going to... Ted, don't be an ass, all right?
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you that are listening right now, you're a witness. You're a witness. The man whose show I sponsor just called me an ass.
Don't be an ass coming up with asinine scenarios about what's going to happen to people if they don't get paid. You know, a lot of people don't get paid. Go on unemployment. How about that?
Unemployment doesn't pay for tap water. You know it and I know it. All I'm saying is let's have some respect for our legislators. It's a tough job. We need help from the country. We demand help from the country.
You demand tax dollars from the American people.
That's exact. You know what? You've got Hollywood Boulevard. Put it on the screen. Do it.
Excuse me?
I told you to do it. Now do it.
Do what?
You've got a video cast going, right?
Yeah.
And there's Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah.
Put it on the screen. I told you to put it on the screen.
No, I'm not taking orders from you just because you sponsor an hour. Now you're going to have to ask me nice.
What?
Ask me nice. I want you to stand there in that gay white suit you're wearing tonight and ask me nice.
Will you please put Hollywood Boulevard on your screen?
There it is.
All right, there. You see that dead, dead city? You see how dead that is? That's Hollywood. That's Hollywood, California. That is where dreams are made. That's, you look at how dead that, oh, you got it on pause.
I do, as a matter of fact, excuse me. Let me just, I apologize, I did have it on pause, and it should be back to normal now.
You made me look like an ass?
I didn't know.
Well, right in the middle of the screen, it said click to play. What a...
We'll be right back, 877-876-PHIL. And we also want to get your input on whether or not the United States, the taxpayers of the United States, should bail out California, $10 billion budget shortfall. Ted Bell will be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
You made me look like an ass.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Hey, come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. You know, tonight on the Phil Hendry Show, we're going to take a look at all 50 states and tell you what they have to offer as opposed to California. Let's see if we can get some money made.
Here at Ted's,
in Beverly Hills.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
All right, we're going to run down that list, but Ted, you were saying to me that California, we're looking at a picture of Hollywood, and there's nobody there, so therefore what?
The economy is bad. California has driven tourism for just many, many years. Now, what do we look at when we see the streets of Hollywood? To quote that character in Malcolm X, dead, dead, dead. You is dead. Remember that when he said you is dead?
And yeah, I remember that. I don't know that it necessarily pertains here.
It's a quote from a movie, Phil. I'm not trying to make any comment racial.
I understand.
I'm simply saying that the United States, the American taxpayer, for all that they have sucked out of the state of California, like babies sucking out of a bottle. I mean, if you look at California and you look at the rest of the United States, the American taxpayers, we're all a bunch of babies sucking at the nipple of California. Just the rest of the states are one big fat, really fat baby, overweight baby, and California is a bottle of never-ending milk, and there is the baby laying on its back, the big fat slob of a baby. That
what baby is a slob?
Well, no baby is a slob unless that baby are the other 49 states, and that is one fat. Have you ever seen? I don't know if you've ever been online, but you can go and enter in fat baby in Google and hit images, and you see these children with the big thick arms. And they've got a big bowl of slop. I don't know who feeds them. But
whatever it is you're talking about, you know, I think you made your point.
Well, the point is that California's the milk bottle.
Yeah, and the other 49 states are a big, fat slob of a baby sucking off of it.
Yes. God.
877-876-PHIL. We will roll down that list of states from Ted here in just a moment. Let's get to some phone calls here tonight. Travis, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, Travis.
I'd just like to comment on the fact that I just don't think it's right that any other state should have to pay for one state's debt. You know, California is not the only state in debt, and let alone, you know, the people. Everybody's going through a hard time in the economy right now, and I just really don't think that would be right.
What's wrong, Ted?
I knew I'd get a call like this. With all due respect to the gentleman, I understand what you're saying, sir, but I've tried to make the point here over the last few minutes that California's not just any other state.
Right.
California
is not a leading state either. And you did make the comment a few minutes ago about you have the most people than any other state.
Well, yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, it's just, if you have the most people than any other state, then why can't the most people of any other state donate $2, $5, $10, whatever the case may be, and pull it out of, you know, your debt? And, you know, I don't know how...
Pull it out of my what?
May not pull out of the debt. Ain't we talking about debt here?
Yes, sir, I know, but if we're talking $10 billion, and what we were saying here, just like the stimulus, just like the monies that, you know, that go federally, we were hoping the people of the United States would, some sort of a tax, would, and then that way, you pay for it. And I know what you're saying. You're saying it's not fair. I got you. But I'm countering by saying that California is sort of like the Lincoln Memorial.
Well, you know, may I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
What's that?
Let me jump in here, gentlemen. To say that California is like the Lincoln Memorial, that's all of a sudden saying that it's not an equal partner in this union. I mean, it's not. Every state in the union is an equal partner.
Oh, my rear end. You know that we put more money. California puts more money in.
No. Hold on for a minute. Every American is paying taxes at the rate that he is federally charged. Every American pays taxes at the rate that that they pay taxes. So to say that California somehow is more entitled to federal relief when Washington has a $5.3 billion shortfall.
Okay, perfect. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me ask this gentleman, Travis. When you think of Washington State, Travis, what do you think of?
Cold and wet.
There you go. Cold and wet. You going to put $5 billion into that? Not me. No, thank you.
What are you talking about, man?
I'm not putting $5.3 billion into something that's like the inside of someone's you-know-what. That's what this gentleman just said.
The inside of someone's you-know-what?
Yes, cold and wet. So what I would rather do...
All right, look, Travis, thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number here. 877-876-7445. You going to do this list of states?
Hold on. I wasn't even done talking, and you... Did you hang up on the caller?
I had to move on, yeah.
Well, the gentleman said cold and wet, and he was on... When he said that, I was about to... he was going to be my ally in attacking your stand, which is that Washington State is somehow equally entitled to tax dollars. He said cold and wet, and that reminded me of, like, the inside of someone's... Well, I can't say it.
Okay, and what?
Oh, boy. What's better? What's better? All right, what's better? I'm going to have to say this right. A masculine, muscular, you-know-what, or something wet and damp?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to David. Hi, David. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Ted Bell as we talk about the California budget shortfall and how the rest of the country is supposed to make up for that. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing, guys?
Yes, sir. Good.
How are you?
I'm a truck driver out of Cincinnati, and
yes, sir.
I don't have a problem with paying my tax dollars. I make a really, really good living, and you know what? I understand California is in a deficit, but you know what? So
right.
Are the other 50 states. You know,
and
we need to worry. I don't have a problem with taking tax dollars to help other states, but it needs to be a state that's in a state of emergency. What about the people in Joplin? They lost, 155 people? Joplin, Missouri.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point.
That's a tough call. But what have they given the rest of the country? And what I was going to do, David, well, you know, you can say that Mississippi's had a hard time. You can say that Missouri has. And they have. And they deserve help. But I'm talking about something more than emergency dollars. I'm talking about actual helping with the budget windfall, the shortfall, because Missouri at the end of the day and Mississippi at the end of the day haven't really done for the country what California has had. Let's talk about it. California, here I come, right back where I started from. You know that song?
Okay, I understand that.
Okay, you know that song. Okay, now listen to this. Here we go. Alabama, and I actually had some music I wanted to play because I think it's, here we go. Alabama, all right? Now, when you talk about Alabama, Dave, what do you think of? You got it, rednecks. Alaska, what do you think of? Eskimos. Arizona, old people, meth addicts. Arkansas. You go all the way down the line. Then you come to California, what do you think of? Beautiful oceans, hot-looking women. Okay. Then we go to Colorado, pot. Connecticut, old people. Delaware, even older people. Florida, death. Georgia.
All right, we got the point.
Right.
We got the point.
I understand all of that.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Every state has its ups and downs. But you need, you know, the people in the United States, we do need to pull together and we do need to help each other. But we need to take care of states that are in a state of emergency.
I agree with that.
Taxpayers can't pay enough taxes to support the deficit. Every state has a deficit. But we need to take care of the states that are in a state of emergency, not
when you think of
overspending.
Let's talk about this. When you think of the state of Let's talk about, okay, Washington. What do you think of when you think of Washington?
Oh, will you come on already?
No, I'm asking the guy. What do you think of when you think of Washington,
right,
sir?
Off the top of my head, it's a nice place to visit, and they do have good apples. I wouldn't want to live there. But
thank you. There you go. I wouldn't want to live there. That's all I needed to hear. I wouldn't want to live there. Why would I want to pay for it, right? Now, when we talk about California,
Ohio's my
what's that?
That's my stomping ground.
Okay.
Is Ohio.
Now, what do you think of? What do you think of? Or when the first thing you think? Okay, I won't ask Dave. Bill, what do you think of when you think of Ohio?
Oh, come on, will you?
What do you think of when you think of Ohio?
I think of the Cincinnati Reds.
What?
Well, did you ask me a question?
Ohio, the Cincinnati Reds.
Did you ask me a question or did you not?
Yes.
The Cincinnati Reds. Well, what do you think of?
Buckeyes.
What is a Buckeye?
I don't know.
Okay, anyway, Dave. What is a Buckeye, Dave?
He doesn't know. You don't know what it is. You'll bet it's a nut.
All right, thanks very much for your call. 877, so thank you, David, and safe travels. 877-876-7445. Here is Bill in Bakersfield. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, sir. Thank you.
My thing is this. I'm living in California. We don't need any other state to bail us out. We need to fix our own problem. Fix the illegal immigration problem here in the state of California, and it will fix itself.
You can't go near that.
There's the guy just said, illegal immigration.
I told you. It's a political hot potato.
27% of our inmate population are illegal aliens at a cost of $52,000 per year per inmate, and that's provided if they don't get sick.
Our enemy population. What does he mean?
Inmate.
No. You got it all wrong.
No, I don't have it all wrong. I just spent 25 years in the prison system. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
Were you a prisoner?
Pardon me?
Were you a prisoner?
No, I was not a prisoner.
Well, I mean, he's...
Maybe he worked for the...
Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize. You were a corrections officer, correct?
Yes, I was. Lieutenant.
Was he a prisoner?
I didn't know.
All right, and you saw a lot of but of course, as a corrections officer, you don't really know who's legal or who's illegal, Bill, do you?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Yes.
Well, you can't go near it, Bill. It's a political hot potato. It's just, you don't want to go near that. If you go near that, it's like going back near a bad smell. It's just going to be all over you. Don't go near that. Let's talk about how California deserves the money over a place like Vermont.
That's the problem we have. Our politicians are scared right now. Or let's not touch that. We may not get reelected. You know what? Get a politician up there that has something that they can contribute. Don't be scared. Don't be scared that you're going to make the other party scared or mad.
It's not fear. It's simply saying when a guy says illegal alien, the first thing you think of is don't go near it.
Well, we've got to start to go near these questions.
Don't go near it.
No, we got to start.
You can't go near it.
Several years ago when we passed Proposition 187 and all that.
Oh, no one knows what that is.
Anybody in the California that's here illegally is not entitled to benefits. That's the only thing that said. They turned it into a big racial
thing. No one knows what that is.
That was the original referendum that beat Arizona, you know, but there were some constitutional issues with that. Anyway, thank you very much, Bill, for your call. World famous Phil Hendry show here. And
oh, so you disagree with the guy, constitutional issues, and then you get rid of his phone call. Anyway, thanks a lot.
I have to move on, okay?
Yeah, but you were disagreeing with him there.
Yeah, I was, but frankly, the disagreement came up at a time where we do have to move on.
All right, I wanted to finish up here, Phil, just very, very quickly for the people that did not hear what we were doing and what we're talking about here. Let me just have Bud Dicklin, or what's his name, Dickman?
Dickman.
Start it again, and let's thank you. Here we go. The 50 states, the United States of America. Let's run down the 50 states. Alabama, what do you think of? Redneck. Alaska, what do you think of? Rednecks and Eskimos. Arizona, what do you think of? Rednecks and meth addicts.
All right, come on. We got to get going, all right?
I beg your pardon? Turn the music off. What did you say to me?
I said we got to get going. Sorry, but we do. I got to take a break.
Yeah, fine.
877, now I feel bad. 877-876-PHIL.
No, it's okay.
877-876-7445. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
even a putt.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Tonight we're open until 1 a.m. We serve until, well, we stop serving. But we are open until 1 a.m. That's another 2.5 hours. So you can come in and drink.
Here at Ted's.
Which, of course, we would rather you not drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Now, what kind of a commercial is that?
Excuse me, I'm the sponsor. Oh, boy. I'm the sponsor.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Would you mind? All right, back it up, please. Play it again.
Wait. I'll tell him to play it again.
Well, I'm not going to have you say something like that.
Ted, you said, come on in and drink, which, of course, I don't want you to drink and drive, but I know how it is.
Oh, my God. And then you repeat it? Play it again.
All right, Bud, go ahead. Play it again. He's deserving of another...
Right away, Mr. Bell.
Thank you.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I don't know what Phil Hendry thought he was playing at, but no, you don't do that to me, Ted Bell. Come on in. We've stopped serving. We're serving booze till 1. Don't drink and drive.
Here at Ted's.
God.
I apologize.
Just don't, you don't have to second guess what I'm saying. All right. Here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, I'm Ted Bell. I'm sponsoring the final segment of this, and I'm going to try and get my money's worth out of this because for the last, I don't know what you'd call it, 52 minutes, Hendry and his listeners have tried to hold me down over the hood of a car outside of town.
Whoa, man.
Well, you're telling me that you haven't?
We've given you a fair hearing.
All right, hit it, bud. This is Foxy, one of the very first gay disco bands.
Uh-huh.
I just thought I'd say that. And what we want to do is run through the 50 states, all 50 states, and why California's got it all over them. All right, where were we? Alabama, rednecks. Alaska, Eskimos and weed. Actually, Eskimos and alcoholics. Arizona, meth addicts and old people. Arkansas, the Clintons. Did you get that, Phil, the Clintons?
Yeah, that's great.
Colorado, dope, hippies, the Rocky Mountains, that's Connecticut, I don't know, Delaware, I don't know what happens in Delaware, but I know that some guy dumped a woman off the, some kind of a murder was committed there. Florida, lots of murders. Georgia, chain gangs. Hawaii, dope and rainbows. Idaho, potatoes and dope. Illinois, Lincoln. Big wow, I mean, Lincoln's a great guy. Indiana, the Hoosiers, Larry Bird, you get it. Iowa, hurricanes, tornadoes, a farm, another tornado, another farm, another tornado. Kansas, Dorothy, Kentucky, colonels, fried chicken, Louisiana, or Louisiana. Two words, Hurricane Katrina. Then we have Maryland, Baltimore, Massachusetts, Baltimore, Michigan, Detroit, Minnesota, not much, but Lakes and Ludifus, or Ludicrous, Mississippi, chain gangs, Missouri, chain gangs, Montana, Colt chain gangs, Nebraska.
All right, I get the idea. God, I get the idea, man.
Well, you understand what I'm saying.
What I hear from you is just a very quick and smart-ass dismissal of all of the states. Michigan, Detroit.
You call that any bargain?
And what is lutefisk?
Now, what's that stuff they eat in Minnesota, the fish?
I don't know, fish.
No, that crap, that Norwegian crap they eat. Anyway, North Dakota, Ohio, Buckeyes. I asked the guy, what is it? He said it's a nut. And they said...
Standing, people are not going to devote tax dollars to just one state, Ted. It's not going to happen.
Okay, Father Hendry, thank you. Thank you for blowing off the hopes of a lot of people tonight. The state of California has been an awful lot to a lot of people, Phil. And I wish at this particular point you had some music that was fitting, because I want to do a tribute. I want to do a tribute to a great state. A state that at one time might have been something. A state that at one time might have been much more than something. It might have been anything. Much more than anything. It might have been the thing. What is this, the Atlantis theme?
What the hell you want from it?
God almighty. Anyway, California is a place that I think a lot of dreams come to and die here. But at least, you know, anyway.
All right. Well, Ted, thank you very much. I think you did all that you could to destroy your idea.
I didn't destroy anything, my fine feathered friend.
Do we have time for this call? Let's see. Let's go over here to Richard. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I want to ask why, if California created the problem that they're in right now by electing officials that didn't care anything about spending money, if it was me. And I couldn't pay my bill, would someone come balance my checkbook so that I could have money to pay my bills? I don't think so.
If you were cool enough, no, if you were cool enough, that's what we're saying.
If
you were cool enough. Cool enough, if you were, if we liked you.
You said Connecticut was all people. I'm afraid to tell you that I am from Connecticut. I have a truck driver trying to make a living out of
it. That's a strike against you, then. I wouldn't want to pay for you, then. I'm sorry.
I thought
he said he was cool, but you're obviously not cool enough.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico.
Here's what they want to do. They want to get this over with, address it in some way indirectly.
I don't even know what to say about that, but Dish Network, if you could update the listings to say Ellen.
Kick-Ass hits theaters next week, and the role of Hit Girl is...
Well, I know a little something about West Virginia, and...
Poppycock.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. I thought that was an interesting line. I know a little something about West Virginia, and you know what? These days, I'll tell you, that is such a terrible, terrible situation there. And my mind drifts back to the days in, I guess, the summer of 08. I think it was the summer of 08. It might have been the summer of 07, that Utah mine disaster. You remember that? That was about as brutal as it gets, because they went in to try to get the guys that were in there, and they lost, I think, three or four more guys with the rescue crew. It's just it's an unbelievable profession. I know that there are people that take to it and do it well. Thank God they do. But and a lot of that has to do with, I think, most of us. You know, we think about the claustrophobia involved and being, I couldn't do it. You know, Stoller is do it. I ain't man enough. I admit it right now. I'm man enough for this, not that. And it takes more of a man to go do that than this. And I'd like to tell you, though, that I make lots of money and coal miners don't. But this particular job, I think actually a coal miner makes more money than me. I really do, bud. So write that down. Anyway, a new controversial Tiger Woods commercial has been airing. We'll talk about that. We have Father James McWhorter, who's going to join us here in just a moment. Father McWhorter at one time was a chaplain to the Mini Tour, which is a sort of semi-professional tour in the United States and Mexico, North America. Does the movie Kick-Ass go too far with an underage character killing people and using foul language? Now, I thought of the movie Bad Seed, but I suppose that's not fair to bring that movie up because she was bad. But this character goes out killing people, and if they're bad people that the character is killing, well, maybe that's okay, too. But nonetheless, we'll talk about that. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight, Columbus Springs, Colorado, 4K, 1580 AM, and State College, WBLF. Oh, we're giving you two shout-outs, State College, in the last couple of months. 877-876-PHIL. On the line is Father James McWhorter. And as I mentioned, Father McWhorter, I did not know this, as the saying goes. I did not know that. But you're a big golf fan, right?
I should say I'm a very big golf fan. You mentioned that I was the pastor of the mini tour, and I was a pastor briefly on that mini tour, on the college tour as well.
Now, what do you do when you're the pastor on a golf tour?
Well, you know, so you get a lot of passes to tournaments, but in point of fact, you are a counselor to some of the young men that play. you speak with them not about the game, because that's obviously something that they know much more about than you do. But you do talk to them about their feelings, professional feelings, feelings of being apart from the family. The travel is very wearing on these young men.
Well, the mini tour, the golf mini tour, is almost like minor league baseball, isn't it?
I was going to say, it is very much like minor league baseball. To that extent, it's not a very comfortable life. Much of the time you're out of pocket your own money, because you're looking to play well enough to attract a sponsor. And for a lot of these young men, they don't have sponsors, so they're out of pocket quite a bit of money.
How much does it take? I don't know. I don't even know if you know anymore, Father. How much it takes for a golfer without a sponsor to travel the tour? Do you know?
Well, I know that when I was involved, this was the early '90s. I would say that you had to have probably $30,000 to $40,000 just out of your own pocket for whatever. I'm talking about the basic now.
Transportation
and lodging. And of course, if you have to have equipment repaired, if you need a new pair of shoes, if you need, obviously, the entry fee for a great many of these tournaments, which are all provided by the better golfers have sponsors that provide for all of this. This was money that you had to have. So I'd say in the neighborhood there, $30,000 to $40,000 to $50,000 of your own money.
And then, of course, if you win...
If you win, then you're able to replenish what you've paid out. But really, the most important thing, Phil, is for them to attract sponsors. And I think that in talking about golf, you know, it's a very difficult life, as I said when you're coming up. Tiger Woods is a great example of a tremendous athlete. And I was worried, loving the game of golf as much as I do. I was worried that we might not see a Tiger Woods play because his personal problems would make it difficult for him to play.
Right.
Yet he's been able to put these personal problems aside to a very large degree, Phil, I think, by virtue of the fact that the paying public, the golf fans, have decided to put away their animosity, as it were, and have put away their anger toward him.
But the golf fans are a little bit more forgiving?
I think I've seen a magnanimous nature on the part of people, which is not to say that that everyone is as altruistic, I suppose, as you want to say, but because, of course, we all want to see Tiger Woods play golf. This is the bottom line for most of us. But I do believe there is the hope and the dream that we are all kind enough that we can say to Tiger Woods that we forgive you. And, you know, forgiveness is the cornerstone of the Christian faith.
It is, yeah.
And if we talk about forgiving Tiger Woods, we talk about forgiving some of the missteps, perhaps, that some of our leaders have made. Can we forgive someone an unkind word? Can we? I heard you talking about this Virginia governor who did not mention the horrible, horrible scourge of slavery during this proclamation for the Confederacy. Well, do we have to think ill of the man? Can't we forgive him?
I understand that, yeah.
Can't we forgive the angry people who've said hateful things in the heat and the passion of the moment during this health care debate that I know that is so important to the American people? Can we forgive the hateful things we said to each other during the Iraq War or the war in Afghanistan, and how terribly difficult these times were for all of us as we sought a better way for our country, you know, Phil?
It's a very good point, Father.
I think forgiveness. Can we forgive, for instance, the Catholic Church and the indiscretion that some of the priests who use poor judgment? Let's forgive these priests and move on and give them their rightful place back in this parish. Can we do this? I think we can. Can we?
Well, now that all of a sudden you just came up with one there.
Which one you're talking about?
I'm talking about the Catholic. You just said, can we forgive the Catholic priests their indiscretions and poor judgment, and allow them their rightful place back in their parishes?
But that's exactly what we're talking about, aren't we? We're talking about forgiveness. Aren't we talking about forgiveness? We're talking about forgiving. If you, for instance, can forgive the hateful words of a, or even a better example, is Tiger Woods himself. Would you look at the way that he used women? And because we know that women are, in many ways, as men, we view women in many ways as we would a child. We're not saying that they're children, but we look at them in a manner of speaking as if they're defenseless, that they may have childlike minds.
Well, I don't know, Father. I mean, with all due respect, you're a Catholic priest, a celibate priest. I mean, were you married before you became a priest? Or?
No, I was never married, but I did have girlfriends. Of course I had girlfriends before I became a priest. And I had, I didn't become a priest until my early 30s. I was in business through much of my 20s, and I had girlfriends. And not married, of course. But I know that men have looked upon women as childlike, as weak, and needing protection. And that is as it should be, I think, in some ways.
Well, you don't want to go the whole route with that one, because women will be very offended by that. I mean, you know, if I can just jump in, Father.
Go ahead.
You know, there are times when you look at a woman in a traditional male-female relationship, and you say, I want to protect her, I want to take care of her, and I think the woman wants that. She wants to be protected. That's kind of those traditional roles that nature seems to have chosen for us by virtue of the evolution of the species.
Of course, and that's to be expected. But also we see them as childlike in their decisions, you know. And so there's no difference really between a Tiger Woods and it's not no difference, but a Tiger Woods treating women as if they're children and the Catholic priest. And the children. These are both very serious steps, and yet we find a way to forgive Tiger. And I say we find a way to forgive the priest, and we find a way to forgive Code Pink, and we find a way to forgive George Bush. And we find forgiveness in our hearts. Let this be the season of forgiveness.
Well, can I... You see, the thing about women being childlike, I don't think that that's necessarily a flattering description. Now, you may think that women are not intellectually up to snuff.
No, I'm not saying, but there are a great many brilliant women. No, I'm not saying that at all.
Well, then what do you mean that women are childlike in their thinking?
Well, if they're childlike when they say to you, you know, and I don't know this for sure, but I've heard from, and I could say that I've heard this from men, and I won't say who, but... When they're having reconciliation, you know, the woman will say, oh, daddy, you know, this kind of thing. You know?
Well, that's sex play between a man and a woman.
Well, right, but it's the same thing. She says, oh, daddy, you know. So we look at them as childlike, and they go, daddy, you know, I have to go brush my teeth. I've got to brush my teeth. I'm thirsty, that kind of thing, right?
Well, are you talking about women now?
Yes, women. So if we forgive Tiger Woods... the insulting and depraved way that he treated women. And yes, I know that it's extreme, but we forgive the Catholic Church and the priests, the way they treated some of these other children too, you know, in the church. And it's a season of forgiveness here. That's what I'm asking for, a season of forgiveness.
You're asking for a season of forgiveness. We've forgiven Tiger Woods, and we forgive the Catholic priest. I just don't see it as the same thing.
Well, what don't you see? I've already pointed out to you that the women are childlike.
Well, no, I don't think you have pointed that out.
Remember, Phil, that in Luke it says, and Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
Well, what does that mean?
That means... that they're like children, that they're not bright, you know. And
well, does that mean that Tiger Woods is like a child? Does that mean that the Catholic priests are like a child?
No, but you see, you put the two of them together. That's what I'm trying to do here. I want you to yoke them together in your mind so that we can have a season.
Well, I don't want to yoke together in my mind Tiger Woods and what his transgressions were with the Catholic priests. It's a little difficult. Okay.
I understand it's difficult for you, but that's because forgiveness is difficult for you. Right now it is. I would think that as a Catholic, you'd be able to show the way.
All right. Father James McCorders is with us. 877-876-PHIL. Finding the way to forgive. Forgive Tiger Woods. Forgive the Catholic priests and their molestation of children. Because in the end, it's a season of forgiveness. 877-876-PHIL. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Back with Father James McCorders in a moment.
I don't know. I think he's got one child.
Well, what were you saying about Phil Henry back here with Father James Recorders? What were you saying to me about the Tiger Woods?
I was saying that Tiger Woods has two children. That Tiger Woods has two children, and that those two children, in their own way, represent the violation of innocence.
Now, Father, you know, I'm going to take some phone calls here, but I want you to be very careful.
I'm not saying that Tiger Woods...
No, I want you to be very careful, because what you said to me in the break, that Tiger Woods violated his own children, and so what's the difference between that and the Catholic priests?
No, I did not say that, Phil.
Well, now, come on, Father, you're not going to lie to me, are you?
I said to you the following thing, if you'll allow me. I said, if we say the Catholic priests violated children, did not Tiger Woods violate the respect that the children should have for their mother by lying to their mother? So in a way, didn't Tiger Woods fondle his own children emotionally, is what I'm saying.
That's the word you used. I didn't like that word, Tiger Woods fondling his own kids. He didn't do anything to his children. He did it to their mother.
But he did it to their mother. You see, to understand that God's grace and God's love covers us all. But we also have to be open to the fact that God's punishment sees all. And just because Tiger Woods did not, in his own way, reach out and touch a child the way the Catholic priest might have used poor judgment at an errant moment, Tiger Woods did, in his own way, reach down and fondle the brain of the child.
What do you mean, fondle the brain?
Fondle the brain, which is where the emotional life is.
Of his own children?
Of his own children, yes. Oh, I'm not saying that he did the terrible things that many people have said the priests, they talk about the priests doing. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying, though, that you have to understand that Tiger Woods, in his own way, I don't want you to get angry with me, but he reached in and gave the brain to squeeze. And in so doing, found emotionally those children.
Well, that's a hell of a statement to make. That's a hell of a statement to make.
Oh, but Phil, I'm not saying that he found out the killing scene that emotionally.
No, I know what you're saying, but I don't like it. I don't agree with it. 877-876-PHIL.
I understand that you don't, but understand that I have a very special calling from God as a priest, that I represent God, and I represent Jesus. And so for you saying that you don't agree with me, you don't have to agree with me, but you're basically saying that you don't agree with Jesus Christ. And you're a better man than me.
Well, Father, I don't really, forgive me, but I won't, I'm sure you understand what your calling is, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm sorry. Ken in Detroit, you're on the Phil Henry Show, listening to us on WTDW with Father James Recorders. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, I was just calling. I totally disagree with you, Father. Comparing an affair between two consenting adults like Tiger Woods had is not the same thing as Catholic priests molesting children. That's not even in the same category. It's way off base. Way off base.
But what about the point that I made about women being childlike?
Women are not.
You
know what? My girlfriend is an equal in my eyes. She is not childlike in any way.
Doesn't she call you daddy?
No, she doesn't call me daddy.
Oh, come on. No, wait, hold on. You're talking about, Father McCordish, you're talking about the play between a man and a woman in intimate times. It's completely different, you know.
Well, doesn't she say to you, I'm thirsty, get me a drink of wah-wah? She never says anything like that.
No.
Okay, it doesn't make any difference, man.
Strong women like Michelle Obama or Hillary Clinton, you think they say that?
I bet your money.
Really has no experience with women.
Well, when I was in my 20s, before I became a priest, I was very much a single man. I was in business. I'd go to the seminary until I was 29, 30 years of age.
How old are you now, though?
You make a good point. I'm 67 years of age, so it's been a while.
But
I can tell you this, that women haven't changed much in 40 years. It's basically the same species.
Well, look at Father. When you say, does she say, I'm thirsty, that is the intimate play between a man and a woman. It has nothing to do with the actual emotional life of a woman.
Well, when a woman says to a man, "Daddy, I'm thirsty, get me a drink," you're telling me that that's intelligent?
That's her having, she's charming him. She's playing with him. Okay?
Well, you guys are gonna have to run another couple of hills to carry that pack. Because I think
that view of women is just way off. Women don't talk like that. And if they just want a drink of water talking in a baby voice like that, I don't know what experiences you have with women, but that's... Nobody talks like that.
Okay, let's get off of that topic, because I want to get onto this the far more serious. When you say, Father McQuarters, that Tiger Woods emotionally fondled his kids...
I stick by that 100%, because when he disrespected their mother, and when he went out on their mother and jeopardized the health and well-being of that family, yes, he did, most certainly, emotionally, he reached in and gave it a squeeze, if you want to put it in those terms.
But you're saying that that's the same as the priests molesting kids.
I don't see any difference. I really don't. I really don't. Well, I'm sorry, but I dare you to argue against me on that one.
This is what's wrong with the Catholic Church today. The views of the people that are running the church, and that Tiger Woods' family issues that have to do with him, and the media is blowing it out of proportion. These are issues that he dealt with his family, and he was wrong. But it's not the same as molesting hundreds of children, Those priests will have a special spot in hell for them. Definitely.
That's right. All right, listen, Matthew, thank you for your call. Father James McQuarters talking about if we forgive Tiger Woods, let's forgive the priests. 877-1776. Phil.
Phil Hendry.
Everybody hates me now.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Coming up, we'll take more of your phone calls, and we have this controversial Tiger Woods commercial to get to. And there's a hell of a lot more in the news besides Tiger Woods. We'll be discussing the this Confederate proclamation by the governor of Virginia, who finally, quote-unquote, got it straightened out. And don't forget, on our website, you can watch You can watch live streaming audio, live streaming video, and listen to live streaming audio.
What you say is you need to watch the video and you have to listen to the audio.
Yes, Father. All right. Now, Father James McQuarters joins us.
I do enjoy watching and listening to your program every night.
Thank you very much, Father. But I'm troubled by your comments. You know that.
I understand.
I'm very troubled by the statement that you make, saying that Tiger Woods and molesting Catholic priests, somehow this is the same thing.
But what would you say about Devin Lefebvre?
Hold on for a minute. That somehow this is the same thing is wrong. And to say that Tiger Woods, by cheating on their mother, has somehow fondled emotionally his children, I think you're walking right up to the edge of a lawsuit there.
What do you call the Devin Lefebvre? Mary Kay Letourneau. We don't call this child molestation. Of course we call this child molestation. And yet there are people that say Deborah Lefebvre and Mary Kay Letourneau somehow are not the same. That somehow it is more benign. That somehow it's not quite as destructive. I don't agree with that at all. I think it is as destructive, if not more so. But I do put the Catholic priests in the same category as Deborah Lefebvre. In the fact that Deborah Lefebvre, it was tough to say no to something like that. I'm sure that a lot of boys would say that. And I'm sure that maybe some would say the same thing about the priest.
Oh, God, oh my, are you kidding me?
Well, wait a minute. If you look at Mary Kay Letourneau and you say, boy, I'd break a stained glass window to be with that. Why can't you say the same thing about a priest?
Are you kidding me or something? These priests, we're talking about small children. I'm not even going to get into a discussion like that. All right?
I don't think you're being fair. If you say, for instance, that...
No, I know exactly what I'm saying. I don't want to get into a discussion like that.
But if this is child molestation, which of course it is, what did Tiger Woods do when he lied to millions of American children and said, be like me, play golf like me, eat the cereal that I eat, buy these kinds of shoes, what have you? And all of the things that these sports stars and the sports athletes do. And you know that... When I was a child, and when you were a little boy, Phil, we had the box of Wheaties. We say on the box of Wheaties, there's the great tax champion. I don't know the name of the man.
Well, they had Bob Seagram and...
Right, right. And Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner was on there.
Right. And what would you say if they lied to you? If they lied? Bruce Jenner, I feel, has lied. He's lied to an entire generation. Bruce Jenner, who was a great athlete, and now he lies as he goes out and gets plastic surgery for his face, so he looks as if he's been in a warehouse fire. He looks terrible, terrible. With his vanity has made his face as if he's in a wind tunnel. Well, the same thing can be said, I believe, for Tiger Woods, who's lied to generations of young people by saying, be me, be Tiger Woods, and guess what else? I've got the clap, and excuse me for saying that, Phil.
Oh, come on, Father, it's not even becoming for you to... I don't think it's becoming of a Catholic priest to discuss in such detail these things, and I think it is also very, very wrong to compare... You know what? Yes, it was child molestation, but I know why you're doing that. You're trying to make it a little bit more benign than it was.
In what sense are you saying?
You're bringing in Deborah LaFave and Mary Kay Letourneau and saying, well, you know, that's child molestation, too. I think I know what you're doing there. 877-876-PHIL. Here's Walt in Cary, North Carolina, listening to us on WPTF. Walt, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father McQuarters.
I don't think I'm lying.
I understand, Father, but I don't like the comparison. Go ahead, Walt.
I'd like to say, you know, these children that have been molested, their families and these children go to the priest for guidance and direction. These priests are supposed to be anointed by God and appointed by the soul
Absolutely.
Order. And then they turn
Absolutely.
Around and they totally violate these children and their families. There's such a big difference between that and Tiger Woods having an affair or several affairs and cheating on his wife. You know, these kids are ruined for life. Yeah, people look up sports figures as somebody to look up to, but
right.
the Catholic priest is the one that people go to confide their problems and get direction, spiritual direction, and then these priests go and do these atrocious things to these children.
Absolutely. I don't disagree with you, Walt. I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. But I have to ask you, Deborah LaFave and Mary Kay Letourneau, I would feel violated were I the child who was molested by Deborah LaFave. I would. But, come on.
He
knows what
these,
I mean.
These priests, I don't know what you mean. It's not even a comparison.
I'm talking about
These priests are supposed to give guidance and direction, spiritual guidance and direction.
Right,
single...
Deborah LaFave was not a priest.
Well, Deborah LaFave was a teacher, though, and she's supposed to give guidance and protect. I don't disagree with you or Walt. I don't disagree at all. I'm simply saying, if you're going to vilify the priest and say that Tiger Woods is a much better man than a priest, I say to you, what about Deborah LaFave?
People don't go to Tiger Woods looking for spiritual direction. They look at Tiger Woods as a sports figure and somebody to admire
right.
the way he plays golf,
Phil,
not somebody that's going to give them guidance
Phil,
from God. You know, the scriptures say give Caesar's things to Caesar.
Well, hold on.
And Caesar's law...
Yeah, and render the things to God that are God's, yeah.
Well,
yes,
look, Walt,
and
I heard
Caesar's
that.
Caesar's law says that child molestation is completely wrong, and you're saying to put these priests back in the position where they can do this
again?
About
this?
I say
yes,
these
but
priests
I'm saying...
go to prison.
I'm saying
I'm
to you
stuck back into
that
another
Mary Kay Letourneau jumped you.
Father,
look at Father McQuarters, what are you saying about I know what you're trying to say about Letourneau. You're saying, hey, Mary Kay Letourneau, she molested those kids too, but hey.
No, I'm saying if Mary Kay Letourneau and Deborah LaFave jumped me, I would say I'm violated and please someone get a police officer. But by the same token, you know, you die with a smile on your face. Now, how do you know the same thing didn't happen with these Catholic priests?
All right, now that's what I'm saying. Throwing that into the mix, like, oh, well, you're going to die with a smile on your face.
Are you telling me that Deborah LaFave, you wouldn't break into a bank for her?
I'm an adult man, okay? I'm 57 years old.
When you were 13.
When I was 13, I was 13. I was a kid. I was a little boy. You could have gotten me to do anything. You could have talked me into anything. When you think about kids, what do they want more than anything else in the world? They want adults to protect them, and they want to do things to please adults. They don't want the adults to be pissed. They don't want the adults to be upset. They want the adults to be happy with them. So children are in a particularly vulnerable place. When you ask them to do something, they'll do it because they want to please the adult and make sure that the adult is happy, because when adults are happy, a kid is happy, okay?
And you're trying to tell me that those women didn't do things to make Tiger happy so he wouldn't get pissed off and beat them or do something with a...
What are you talking about, man?
I'm saying...
off his rocker.
If I'm off my rocker, you're saying those women wouldn't do what Tiger wanted them to do to keep from being beaten with a wedge. All right, I said it.
You're telling me that Tiger Woods was now beating those women with golf clubs?
I don't know.
Well, why don't we just slip that into the conversation? All right, hey, Walt, thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Winchester, Tennessee. It's Pam. Pam, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Father James McQuarters. Go ahead, please.
Thank you very much.
You used a great deal of any language to vilify me.
I'm not vilifying you. You're the guy that's talking about Tiger Woods beating up women with a pitching wedge. Go ahead, Pam.
Let me just make a few comments, if I can. I am a social worker. I have been a social worker for over 20 years.
Finally.
And about 5 of those years working with sexually abused children.
Perfect. And, this is what I was waiting for.
Yes. And I have seen the effects on the children. I have seen the effects on their families. And you cannot compare Tiger Woods' situation with this. It is totally different. It's not even in the same ballpark. So, I am very concerned.
You're saying it's worse.
I am not Catholic. She didn't say it was worse.
But I will tell you, the lives of 18 women that he had affairs with, and a priest devastates maybe, what, 1 or 2 kids?
And oh, is that all? Just 1 or 2 kids?
Tiger Woods
number one,
18 women.
I don't think Tiger Woods' children know what happened. I doubt their mother sat down and told them. They're very young. So unless somebody tells them, they don't know what's happening right now.
But you cannot
compare the two situations. They're not the same. And as far as priests being allowed to return to the church, no, they should not ever be allowed to return to the church because they're pedophiles. Let's use the word pedophile.
All right.
And pedophiles
I'm happy to use that
be treated.
Word.
Pedophile
but you
be
know
treated.
That a kid,
I do believe
you know the
they
one
can
kid,
be treated. You
know the kid that married the kid that married the one that molested him? You know that kid, right? What do you say about that? And I'm saying
about,
to you, and I know you do great work. I know you do great work, but I'm saying, isn't it possible that, you know, I asked Phil, he's 13, he sees Deborah Lefebvre, and he goes, yeah, man. And
I didn't say that at all. You're not listening to anything I'm saying.
I have a 13-year-old son, and they were not hard enough on Deborah. You know, they did not treat her like they would have treated a man that molested a 13-year-old.
Well, that's one boy he married the lady. What was the kid's name, Phil?
You're talking about Mary Kay Letourneau?
Yeah, he married her. And the priests are getting what? They're taking the priest, and they're dragging him behind a jeep. Mary Kay Letourneau ended up marrying to the boy she molested, and they live happily ever after. So wouldn't you agree
that's
that all of them
situation that a priest in an authority position... A man of God.
Mary Kay Letourneau was in an authority position. What about the nun? Yeah, there you go, the nun. That nun.
You know what, Father? You can dig all you want, man, for all kinds of examples.
Still, I'm looking for God's forgiveness. I'm looking for a season of forgiveness. I'm trying to get all of you together
saying,
on the same
I'm not
page.
Saying I'm not willing to forgive. What I'm saying is children have to be protected. And therefore, pedophiles are not allowed to work in child cares in the state of Tennessee.
Tom, you find me a young man who wants to be protected from Deborah Lefebvre, and you want to put him in the nut house.
Well, you know
Father
what?
James
I'm
McQuarters.
My son, Deborah, and he's 13 years old.
But if your son ever asks you for protection from Deborah Lefebvre, put him in a nut bin.
Oh, is that right? Is that right?
You got it.
Is that right? A 13-year-old boy, if he said, Mom, that lady is bothering me, if it was Deborah Lefebvre, the kid belongs in a nut bin.
I think so. That's an unprofessional opinion. But wouldn't you want to put that, wouldn't you want to wrap that kid up tight?
So are you trying to make this problem the boy's problem?
I'm saying to you.
Deborah's problem. Deborah is a pedophile as well.
That was deserved to be in prison.
All right, I'm not going to get it. Yeah, but listen, Pam, thank you very much. Good calls, and thank you for your great work that you do in your community. 877-876-PHIL. And
well, you're not thanking me for the great work I do in my community. Because of the fact that...
You know, Father, you're. I know what you're doing. You're using this Deborah LaFave, Mary Kay Letourneau. Hey, you know, they molested kids too. Hey, you know.
Well, you still haven't answered it. Would you or would you not take a 13-year-old kid that said that Deborah LaFave would make a freight train take a dirt road? Wouldn't you take that kid, wrap him up, and put him in a soft room? Yes or no?
Father...
Yes or no?
Call... Hang up on him, man. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Tiger Woods, the molesting Catholic priests, Deborah LaFave, Mary Kay Letourneau. Is there really any difference? Shouldn't we just forgive and forget? Father James McCorders, more with him coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and we're going to get to some more phone calls. Father James McCorders joins me from Belmar Academy, Glendale, California. We also have on our newsmaker line this evening, checking in, is David G. Hall. He is the Vice President of Syndication for the Phil Henry Show. And David, you had a point that you wanted to make concerning what we're talking about tonight, right?
Yeah, I do, and first of all, I want to say good evening to Father McCorders. Good evening, David, and to you, Phil. Yeah. And to mention to you that I don't disagree with the discussions you're having with Father McCorders. I think that they it's valuable, but I think we need to understand that. And I, Father McCorders, if I'm wrong, please tell me. We live in a very modern time, Phil. Tiger Woods is a Buddhist. You have spent 50-plus minutes with a Catholic, and I don't find anything wrong with that, but I would ask you, and I think I ask all of your listeners, that our sympathies are with Tiger in a very difficult time, and he's a Buddhist, he's not a Catholic.
Well, you know, the book, Living Jesus, Living Buddha, you know, I'm not finished yet, Father, if you don't mind, that you have given this Catholic priest all this time.
Well, it's a question of spiritual health.
Hold on for a minute. People jumping all over me here. I haven't finished what I'm saying.
I got to take some calls, David.
I'm going to ask you now, Phil, and I'm sorry to have to use this language. I'm going to ask you to please shut up. You've got a Catholic priest on, and I have no problem with that. Tiger Woods is a Buddhist. This is a world now that we live in that has Muslims and Buddhists and Confucius and everything. It's no longer just the Main Street Methodist Church. Do you understand that?
Yes, I understand that.
All right, so putting on the Catholic priest and the Presbyterian and this, that's fine, but we got to get with it here. There's Buddhists, there's Muslims, there's every other kind of religion that's got nothing to do with Catholics. And that's all I'm at. And Father, forgive me, but I think you've been rude. I don't understand.
You just said, I don't understand.
I don't understand, Father.
I think you've been rude to me. I think you've been rude to Phil and his listeners and fans. That Catholicism has no say in this particular situation.
Well, you're talking about molesting priests need to get a pass. They molesting priests get a pass, and they get their ticket punched the same way that Tiger Woods does. I don't think so.
All right, let me take a phone call. Hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Lulu in Denver, Colorado, listening to us on KTNI. Hi, Lulu, and welcome to our show. Go ahead.
Hi. I just want to say,
yes.
I think the father's reasoning is a lot of reason the people are turning away from the Catholic Church. I think his reasoning is really warped. I don't think that think like that.
I'm not approving of molesting children. Of course I'm not approving of that. That would make me in league with the devil. But I'm saying to you, the devil looks just like Deborah LaFave. Oh, yeah. See, that's not fair. Yeah, you say it's not fair because you know what I'm talking about.
What do you mean, Deborah LaFave, oh, yeah?
Because every boy, there's not a 13-year-old boy out there that wouldn't want to, well, I don't want to say it, but a lady on the line. But you
well,
see,
I just think that your reasoning that you relate everything in a sexual or a desirable manner is just really, it's like, I can't comprehend that. Because in my day-to-day life, mm-hmm. I don't relate everything in a sexual or desirable manner. And it seems to me what you're saying and the point you're trying to make is that everything, you know, subconsciously revolves around sex to people. That's what I'm getting from you.
No, I'm saying that if you're a 13-year-old boy, and if you're a 13-year-old boy, and here comes Kim Kardashian, you know what I'm saying? You see,
I don't know, Kim Kardashian, she's got a big rear end. Why would a kid want that?
Oh, give me a break, will you?
What are you guys talking about now? Lulu and I are talking about the tragedy of these priests, and you, Father, trying to compare that favorably to Tiger Woods, and then telling me about Deborah LaFave. I'll give you that Deborah LaFave is hot. Mary Kay Letourneau was hot. They were two teachers who took advantage of the children that were in their charge, and I stand by what I said. Children do anything to make adults happy. That's the tragedy. That's the sickness. That's the disgusting reality of child molestation, that children want to willingly make adults happy. And that any adult that would take advantage of that attitude.
You know, Phil, you give a real
good speech. You know, especially when they're adults that are in positions of trust. Especially when they're in positions of trust.
Right.
What position is that?
Thank you, Phil.
A position of trust.
Yeah, when they're in a position of trust, you know, children really do want to please them.
Well, what, are your legs in the... I don't understand.
Position of trust!
Oh!
Like the father,
Lulu,
you know, that...
Yeah, Lulu, thank you very much. 877-876-PHIL. Lynn in Louisville, Kentucky. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. I just think
Hi.
That this priest here is beyond delusional to compare the things that he's comparing. Now, I'm Catholic, and, you know, I no longer practice the Catholic religion.
Wait a minute, Father. Let Lynn finish.
I no longer practice the Catholic religion because of all this controversy that's going on with these priests. It's disgusting.
That's great.
And
that's
for
a good
you
idea.
To sit there and try to justify what they have done and say that it's okay for them to go back into the church around children after we know what's happened, and then for you to compare that with what Tiger Woods has done, there's something going on there that's just not clicking.
Mary Kay Letourneau.
Oh, will you stop with Mary Kay Letourneau?
You keep...
All right, listen, thanks very much. Yeah, I know, Lynn.
You.
We got a break. Lynn, thank you. Great call. 877-876-PHIL. Back with more of your phone calls. 877-876-PHIL after this.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, let's get back to voting.
Learn more at Talk... Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And you know, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot do that. We're radio for patriots, by patriots. Welcome to our second hour. With us is Robert Greene this hour from Fraser Foods, CEO of Fraser Foods. And the chief, I would say, the chief spokesperson for their Family Safety Week, which is a public service that they are doing at all of their 25 stores. Bob's going to be with us here in just a moment. Want to remind you, our website, philhendryshow.com. Go over and get a backstage pass, and you can watch live streaming video of the show right now, as well as our archives. And, of course, check out our affiliate list and take a look at all of the great affiliates that we have, including... KRPT in San Antonio, and I butchered their call letters last hour, and I apologize, guys, so I want to give you another shout-out, because San Antonio is like one of the great, great markets for us.
Yeah, they had them and the Mormons, too.
And the Mormons, huh?
Well.
And Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because you got this, don't, anyway, just, you know, you've never even been to Utah, man. If I hadn't told you there's a lot of Mormons there, that wouldn't be the big Mormon thing for you. You know, you would have just said Utah.
Yeah, but that's Mormons.
Yeah, but if I hadn't said anything to you, in any event, thanks, folks. All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. What happened to the, oh, here it is. I've got a pretty good little article here. I thought I did anyway. Geez, I hope it's still here. Oh, yeah, it's the Casey Anthony story. It's in People magazine. I didn't print it off, but Robert Greene is going to join us here in just a second to talk about this opening day at the Casey Anthony trial. And, boy, was it a brutal, brutal day. And I know, Bob, that you're at the store a little late here this evening in Buena Park, and thanks for joining us.
It's great to be with you, Phil. It's a pretty, as you say, it's a pretty sad day, but...
Well, Family Safety Week is a annual public service campaign by Fraser Foods. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Phil, Family Safety Week is simply our way of reminding families to be aware of dangers to our children as well as to ourselves, whether it's coming from the world outside, and it's an increasingly dangerous world, Phil, or if it's coming from inside the family, because we have unresolved issues, and we need to sort of hang together and help each other. And Family Safety Week is simply our way of reminding mothers, fathers, as well as sisters and brothers and everyone that we need to educate ourselves, be aware of our actions and our behavior, as well as the actions and behavior of people around us. And excuse me, Phil, I'm getting over a little bit of a cold.
Well, you're doing fine. You sound good.
I'm grateful because a lot of people have been hit with this flu a lot worse than me.
No, you sound very good, Bob. When you're talking about being aware of people around us, you mentioned to me before the show started that this was the Casey Anthony trial was a textbook case of this.
It unfortunately is, and I feel for that entire family. I cannot believe what is happening in that trial in this very first day.
Well, let me just give people an idea, Bob. The most shocking claims that were made in the opening statements, and these primarily by the attorney for Casey Anthony, Mr. Baez, the most shocking claims by the lawyers focused on competing theories of how Kaylee died. Baez told the jury that Kaylee was never missing. On June 16th, 2008, she drowned in the family's swimming pool. It was a horrible tragedy, a common tragedy. Casey had always maintained that Kaylee was kidnapped by a babysitter. For the first time, defense attorney Jose Baez admitted that the story was untrue. Then comes accusation number two.
And this is the one, Phil, that I think is the most devastating because it can be avoided, obviously. And that is the, I know you were going to mention.
Well, it was Baez said that Casey Anthony was sexually abused by her father. Minutes into his opening statement, Baez got the jury's attention by alleging abuse when Casey was 8 years old. Her father came into her room and began to touch her inappropriately. Sitting in the courtroom, Casey's father, George Anthony, sighed and closed his eyes. It's an allegation that George disputes. During his testimony, prosecutors asked whether he sexually abused his daughter. No, sir, I did not, he said loudly.
I can understand that is going to be his response. I don't know what happened, but part of our Family Safety Week, Phil, is the reminder to every father. And that's why this is a particularly difficult story to read, that no matter how beautiful your daughter is, no matter how attractive she becomes, no matter how early she may begin to mature, you can't allow yourself to do that. I don't know if George Anthony did that or not. But again, Fraser Foods reminds families, particularly fathers everywhere, that no matter how, you know, if you want to put it this way, hot or what have you, your daughter becomes, and I've seen Casey Anthony, we all have. And if she were my daughter, and I had a very beautiful daughter, and still do, and I can tell you that as a father, as my daughter matured, you could tell that she was going to be beautiful. And I kept telling myself over and over, don't do it because...
Don't do it? Don't do it?
Yes, don't do it. In other words, what I'm saying, and I I didn't do it. And what I'm saying is you tell yourself that because this is what's going to happen. Years later, she's going to sit in a courtroom somewhere, and she's going to say, my father sexually abused me, and that's why I'm a mass murderer. My father sexually abused me, and that's why I stole money. That's, you see what I'm saying? So I say to all the men listening to your program tonight, Phil, no matter how lovely your daughter is and, you know, being in the store every day and being and doing the kind of work that I do, Phil, I've seen, if you will, I've seen some of their daughters, I mean America's daughters, and they are beautiful.
And, oh, you know, I want to interrupt you here because I'm a little uncomfortable with the way this is rolling out.
In what way?
In the way that you just said. You said, don't do it. Did you have to remind yourself?
I'm saying, Phil, so that we don't get too high and mighty here, no, I never did that to my daughter.
No, I understand that, but I...
And I'm saying, if you'll let me, you don't ever want to sexually abuse your daughter. That's what I'm saying.
Of course you don't. But the things that you said about how you reminded yourself...
I said that if you've got a daughter, look, if your daughter is beautiful and she's really beautiful, you're naturally, your mind is going to get into the sewer at least once. And I don't think...
No, it is not going to necessarily go into the sewer. Not necessarily.
Well, all right, that's fine. Did you have a daughter?
As a matter of fact, I had a stepdaughter, which probably makes me even more of a, in the minds of some people, more of a risk. But that never, ever, ever entered my mind. And I'll tell you something else. In the world that we live in today, with people looking for that kind of thing, a man has no business at all behaving any way other than absolutely above board with his daughter or stepdaughter or any young female in his charge. And that means when you hug her above the waist, and when you kiss, it's on the cheek, and you love as a father and as a friend, and that's it.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Phil. You're giving a big, long description here, and that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you're saying something that is disturbing a little bit. You're saying...
What do you mean? I want to get back to our Family Safety Week, and I want to... I agree with everything you're saying. I think you're taking this into a place that no one wants it to go.
All I'm saying is, didn't you say to me, no matter how hot... You said hot.
Yes, I did.
All right, no matter how hot your daughter gets, don't do it.
I'm saying, in other words, if you'll allow me to restate...
Okay.
Your daughter is going to get older, and she's going to become beautiful, and good for her, and congratulations. And you're going to see that, and if, and I agree with you, Phil, if you are the kind of animal whose mind sinks into the gutter like that, I would advise you to, no matter how... You don't like the word hot. I don't know what word I'm supposed to use.
I don't think you should even be going down this road. You know...
No matter how attractive she is, well, I'm going down this road because I think it's pretty obvious. Don't do that, even though she is, you know, good-looking. And I think what Mr. Henry here is doing is he's attempting to make me sound like I'm... A child molester. And
no, sir, I'm not.
I never touched my daughter at all, unlike this guy, Anthony. The reason why I'm saying this...
You don't know that George Anthony did this. This is the other thing that's bothering me about this. George Anthony has been accused of this by this woman.
Well, I mean, this is the whole point that I'm... The reason why I'm saying this. You've seen Casey Anthony, right?
Yes.
Is she attractive?
I'm not going to make a comment on that.
Well, I don't think that's very fair. I think what you've done now is you've got me out... hanging in the breeze.
I'm not going to make a comment on how attractive she is.
Well, I will, in the name of every man listening. Yes, she's attractive. And so if you're her father, you face a decision.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Well, Mr. Henry, are you going to debate me now?
I'm saying that, no, you don't face a decision. And if you think that you do face a decision... In my opinion, there's something wrong with a man who feels he has a decision to make.
I totally agree. I'm saying, don't do it. That way you don't have to make the decision. Even if she looks the way, and this, you don't want to say it, but she is very, she's good looking. And you're living in the house with that every day.
Wow, man.
Oh, don't give me that.
No, that's just, I mean, it's just... Robert Green with us here. It's Family Safety Week on at Fraser Foods as we talk about the Casey Anthony trial. And Casey Anthony's attorney today made the allegation that Casey Anthony was sexually abused by her father when she was 8 years old. George Anthony patently denied that. Robert Green on our program saying that no matter how, quote, hot your daughter is, end quote, don't even think about it. Not a good idea. Even though a lot of you guys out there have really attractive daughters, don't do it. And I said to him, I don't even think that a healthy man has to make a decision like that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is this some kind of a natural hazard of being a father? Is this just a business as usual, raising a daughter? Well, she grows up, she gets hot, you know, you got a decision to make. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Robert Green in a moment.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
From Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, Robert Green joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're talking about the Casey Anthony trial, the opening statements today, the opening arguments, if you will, today. And the opening argument by the defense was just as they say in the business, a bombshell. Among the accusations by Casey Anthony's attorney, Jose Baez, that this baby, Kaylee Anthony, drowned in the family swimming pool with the knowledge of George Anthony and also the knowledge of this meter reader, this man who called in this, and that this guy got some sort of a reward. They were all in the cover-up. And then the other thing that was that we're talking about right now is the fact that the Baez claims Casey Anthony was molested, sexually assaulted or molested as an 8-year-old child by George Anthony. George Anthony on the stand denied this. And Bob, you are on this program as if George Anthony did do this, saying no matter how beautiful your daughter is, you know, I you're saying don't do it.
Yeah, well, and you are misrepresenting what I'm saying, Phil. I
don't think so. I mean, did you not say that if you've got a really hot daughter...
I didn't use, if I use the word hot, I apologize, but I was trying to obviously relate this to your audience. Every father goes through this. If he doesn't, he's either lying or he's got an ugly daughter, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I see men coming through this door all the time with their daughters, and you do too, and you think, boy, you know, better you than me, pal. You know, if...
Better? I don't think that way. Am I a liar?
You had a stepdaughter, Phil. It might be different. Maybe the fear that goes through stepfathers, boy, if I make one, well, excuse the pun, but if I make one full step, people are going to think I'm a pervert. But for a father, the blood father of a daughter, you got to step back, be cool. It ain't worth it. Don't do it, man. And if you've got, excuse my language, you've got a piece of ass for a daughter,
I don't appreciate that language, and I don't appreciate you whispering it as if we're conspiratorial here. And I don't appreciate the opinion that every man goes through it.
Well, look, George Anthony was accused of this. It's very serious. And
this girl, this Casey Anthony, is a lying psychopath, in my opinion. And
well, you don't know that, Phil, okay?
Look, if this girl did what they accuse her of doing, it wouldn't surprise me at all that she'd throw everybody under the bus, including, at some point, her lawyer. She'll do the same thing to Baez. She'll fire him or otherwise accuse him of something. She'll do anything she can as an antisocial psychopath to save her own ass. 877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, well, and you say save her own ass. And so I will believe that you've taken a look at that ass, to coin a phrase, and you got to, are you kidding me? So as a father, you got to say, no, 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 I won't do it.
As a father, you got to say, 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call here. We have Kevin in Louisville, Kentucky. Kevin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bob Green.
Yeah, I just wanted to say to that guy you're talking to, I don't remember what his name was, but, you know, we're not sure about Mr. Anthony and, his allegations against him, but this guy you're talking to there, he sure sounds like he needs to be investigated.
Better, you got to turn that phone up. Turn the call up, please, and don't turn it down again. Go ahead. Say it again, Kevin. Somebody adjusted the volume of your call.
Yeah, I was talking about that. They got it. You're talking to now. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure about Mr. Anthony. I know what he's been accused of, but I haven't heard any facts or anything. You know, but this guy that you're talking about, he's got to make a decision when your daughter's hot or whatnot. You know,
Have you got a daughter?
I have two daughters.
Right.
I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old, and I've never had to make a decision. You know,
they're 11 and 9, but at some point, if they're, I don't know. I mean, they might be, big and big and ugly. And I don't mean that in terms of them being as people. They're probably great people, but if they're hot and.
But everything with you is hot or big and ugly.
No, not everything.
That's how you're describing this man's daughter.
What kind of a decision are you going to make? You know,
if it's a decision he has to make, then he needs to stay away from him.
Exactly. If you think that this is a...
Wait a minute. I just want to be clear, because I had a daughter that I raised, and I never laid a hand on her.
Yeah, and all through that time, that kid didn't know how close she came. You're thinking, wow.
Well, what am I supposed to think? What are you going to do? Let me ask you something. This may be pointless talking to this guy. Have you watched this trial, sir? Have you seen this Casey Anthony? Have you seen her?
877-876-PHIL. Fred in Abilene, Texas. Go ahead.
Phil, the gentleman that you have on right now, I mean, it makes me vomit. It makes me want to throw up. It's sick. I have five daughters. And they're beautiful daughters, but I have never, ever looked at them other than admiration and love.
You're the second guy this week to
ever,
have five
ever.
Daughters. There's been you two guys calling the Phil Henry Show this week, and they both have
no
five
decision.
Daughters.
There's no decision there unless you're sick in the
mind.
Thanks
for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. And we're going to take a break, and I, again, we'll apologize for the tech.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here with Bob Green from Fraser Foods. We're talking to Bob about not only Family Safety Week for Fraser Foods, which is a part of their public service week, but also the Casey Anthony trial. Casey Anthony... has this week, through her attorney, accused her father of sexually molesting her, has accused her father and mother of helping cover up the death of the baby. The child drowned in a swimming pool, and there was a meter reader this guy that found the body, who's also somebody they're dragging in. So young Miss Anthony, being the antisocial type that she is, she doesn't care who she hurts, she doesn't care who she lies about, she doesn't care how she pulls people down. That's what she's going to do.
Well, Phil, I think you're making a lot of assumptions there. It could very well be true that George Anthony did do this. And I think that's something we can do something about as men. If you are raising daughters, and I heard the man who claimed to have five daughters, it's interesting when people claim to have daughters, it's always five. He probably didn't have five daughters. He probably had one daughter and four sons. But be that as it may.
Why wouldn't you believe that he has five daughters?
I just think it's interesting. Every time a guy claims to have daughters that he doesn't really have, there's always five. Almost like it's out of a movie or something. Be that as it may, I will say this, that the solution of the problem is very, very, is readily evident. The solution of the problem is that if you've got a daughter that's beginning to, mature, and she's getting bigger and she's getting beautiful, that you have to remind yourself that it's not worth it 30 years down the road when she accuses you of molesting her, and it'll be true. And
it's not worth it. What makes you think a guy that molests children, that kind of thinking is going to affect him at all?
You're asking me a question. I don't have the answer to that, Phil. You're talking about a guy that molests children. I'm talking about a father looking at a daughter that's getting a big, that is getting a big chest or however you want to put it. And
yeah, you sound as if you're on a playground someplace watching the girls getting bigger as the years go by. You're not sounding like a father, you know.
Phil, I told you that I had a daughter, and I watched my daughter grow to a beautiful womanhood, and I never once laid a hand on her. I was there for her through her graduation. I was there for her at her wedding. I gave her away to her groom, and we have a wonderful relationship today. And
how do you think your daughter would think if she heard you talking like this?
She'd probably think that there's my dad, being practical. And
there's my dad being practical. So I watched my daughter getting older and getting bigger, or however you want to put it. You know.
No, I didn't say that. I my daughter, as it turns out, she didn't have, but she had a, she was lovely, and but she wasn't not that way. In other ways, yeah. And so. You look and you say, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it. I can't.
Any guy that's got to sit there and say that has got a problem.
What?
I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't. What is that, man? That sounds to me like someone with some sort of an obsessive or compulsive nature that really needs a doctor.
A doctor? I didn't need a doctor. Did I need a doctor? No.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't know. That just sounds very, very disturbing to me, Bob. You know?
Well, this is Family Safety Week, and we are trying to let everyone know of all the alternatives.
877-876-7445. The Phil Hendry Show here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Here is Tim in Indianapolis. Tim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil. It's Bob Green you got with you here. I agree with the last two callers and yourself. There's something wrong with what he said, I think. You just don't even have those kind of thoughts. You don't have those kind of thoughts. And if you do, buddy, you need to get some help. And you're a poor representative for Fraser Food for Family Safety Week.
Well,
I wouldn't have any of my family.
I don't even think you have
around
any daughters.
Why? Is because if you're looking at your daughter like that, you're looking at the kid down the street that way. The kid is the playground. And that is unsafe. That is
no
problem.
And you don't even have daughters, so I don't know how you could weigh in on this. I'm talking about having daughters.
I've got family members there. Do you look at your nieces and nephews that way, too? I mean,
do you?
Not that close? I mean, anybody.
Do you?
Sir, there's something seriously wrong with your set of thinking.
Are you looking at your nieces that way?
Yes, I can understand why you think George Anthony could possibly done that if you think that's a normal way of thinking, because it's not. I mean, there's something totally wrong with it.
Let me explain something to you. I never molested my daughter, all right?
Which I
don't
know,
but
that's
true about you.
Did you have that thought cross your mind? Did you even have that thought cross your mind?
So now it's the thought police. Now it's the thought police. So it's now the thought police. Now it's 1984.
You had that thought cross your mind and tell yourself don't do it. You know, you haven't had that about your niece, your nephew, or the kid down the street. I mean,
there was a book out called 1984 about the thought police. That's what this guy wants to do now. He wants to police your thoughts.
You're the poor representative for Fraser Food.
All right. Thanks very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. Again, I apologize. The phones on this radio program, really, for 4 years have never worked.
Here you're fine, Phil.
That's fine, but you and I will get back. So our number, 877-876-7445, talking to Robert Green here from Fraser Foods about the Casey Anthony trial. The other thing that she said was that this child drowned.
Yeah, I heard that as well, and this is part of our family safety week, that if you have an infant, you have to be careful not to let that kid anywhere near water, especially a small infant, without a safety door, and you need to have fencing. Now,
all right, but we don't even know if that happened.
Well, what do you mean we don't know if it happened?
This is the same woman, this Casey Anthony, who said that the kid drowned, her father molested her, and the meter reader is responsible for somehow covering this up. What happens during Family Safety Week, Bob, if one of the family members is a psychopathic liar, a pathological liar? What then?
I am not qualified to speak about pathological liars. I'm only qualified to talk about not molesting your daughter and not letting an infant near a pool and not to ever, ever enter into any kind of a contract with an individual to cover up a murder. These are not the... I can tell you what's right and what's wrong, Phil. I can't help you with some of these fantasies that you're having. And
I'm not having any fantasy. You're the guy that's having the fantasy. You're the guy that's saying, when my daughter gets old enough and starts looking hot, don't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. You know,
I'm talking the way a guy ought to talk. All right? What's wrong with what I'm just saying?
I agree with that man. If you have to think those things, now we move on to the next thing. Make sure that you don't let your kid drown in a pool. Well, that's smart, obviously.
Yeah, but look at how many kids. Look at it. It might have happened to this kid.
I can get news for you. It didn't happen to this kid. And then what was the other one?
The other one was don't enter into a contract with a third party to cover up a murder. Obviously, that's stupid. And
don't enter into a contract with a third party to cover up a murder.
That's correct, yeah.
Like maybe what happened here.
Yeah.
Now, I'll ask you this question. How do you know any one of these three things actually took place if this young lady is lying?
Oh, come on. Phil, we know that fathers molest daughters, and we know kids drown in swimming pools, and we know that meter readers, guys that are reading these meters for a living, this is not a business that's going to make you a lot of money. It's very possible a lot of those people are just out of prison, I don't know, and would very easily enter into some kind of a money-making contract.
So what we've done here is we have vilified an entire profession of men and women.
But people that read meters, that's a profession?
An entire profession of people. And we will accept that this baby drowned, and we'll accept that George Anthony molested his daughter because it's easy and because that happens all the time.
I think so. I'm not saying that that's why. I'm simply saying that these are the three lessons we're learning.
877-876-7445. Here is Michael in Tucson. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Michael, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a guy, Bob, whatever his name is, you know, you did not imply that he molested his daughters or stepdaughter. I happen to have a stepdaughter and a daughter of my own, and he is automatically...
She said in the trial that the guy molested her. She said it in the trial.
Sir, Phil did not insinuate that you were molesting or even were thinking of molesting your daughter, but what you're digging yourself a hole by saying that if your daughter is hot and once she gets to a certain age and she starts to look hot, I think what you're trying to say is that if you have those thoughts, that, you know what, it's not worth 30-some years going to jail for having those thoughts and thinking about molesting your daughter. Don't do it. But like everyone else is saying to you, sir, if you would stop self-incriminating yourself, Tracy Wheat with Fraser Foods, is that if you have those kind of thoughts, then yeah, you do need to get some help. But not everyone is assuming that you are molesting your family. You have taken that out of context
and I respect what the talk show host Bill is trying to say, but you keep digging yourself for yourself.
What did I say? I said when my daughter was getting older, and I don't know if you have daughters, when my daughter was getting older and my daughter started to look good, I would remind myself, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And, you know. Well,
yes, you had to say that because that was a stepdaughter. I respect you for what you're trying to say because that's not your biological daughter. But what if it's your biological daughter or your stepdaughter? It doesn't matter. You know, yes, you're being honest and saying men.
No, that is his biological daughter. No, you're
women.
That is his biological daughter.
Don't dig yourself into a hole by you know, taking offense at what the talk show host has said to you. You know, get some help
Michael,
about it, my friend.
Michael, that is his biological daughter.
This guy has, George Anthony, I do believe he has molested his daughter. And evidence points to that direction. But you're not helping
Michael,
the cause, sir.
Michael, can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you hear me? The evidence doesn't point in that direction. And I don't know where you're getting that. That's
Well, this guy's, I think he's agreeing with me.
Yeah, well, both of you guys are stupid then. How about that?
Oh, that's great, Bill. That's a nice way to blow us off the because we don't agree with you. And
well, the thing I was going to tell Michael is that is your daughter. That's not your stepdaughter. So he wasn't listening to that. And I don't know where you guys get this idea that George Anthony molested his daughter. The fact is that this kid, this Casey Anthony, is a pathological liar. You'd have to be a psychopath to murder an infant and then go off and party. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. Radio for Patriots. Hi, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I actually have on the line here, I don't know if we have any Casey Anthony audio, because I did not have time to upload all the Casey Anthony stuff, but I got Chris Norton on the phone. Huh? I know we have some, but I just didn't put it in there. Although, I'll just go ahead and pull it off of the... there's no Anthony audio? Okay. Nonetheless, I know we got a story. But let me get Chris, if you could send me that story, Jace, over the IM, let me get Chris Norton on the line here from Manhattan Beach, California. Chris, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, Mr. Henry. Thank you.
Chris, have you been following this Casey Anthony trial?
Yes, I have. It's a very interesting, you know, trial from a standpoint of, from how I see it, because I'm, as a single man, you know, I'm more interested probably. And it's not because I don't care about, you know, a little child or anything like this, but it's more because, obviously, as I've mentioned to you on your show and I've talked to others on other radio shows, that I am very, you know, for better or for worse, and, you know, I'm very grateful. I'm very handsome. Women are, you know, attracted to me, and because I'm, you know, I have a lot of sexual energy and, I do have a lot of sexuality, and so
sexuality, you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so is this why you're attracted to the Casey Anthony trial?
I think, yeah. Most guys that are my, you know, have sort of my lifestyle, if you want to say, are attracted to this story because, see, Casey Anthony is, it's a very tragic story, there's no question, but because I'm 28 and I do have a high level of sexual, you know, a lot of sex appeal and sexual energy, I'm more going to be attracted to the fact she's pretty hot. You know, there's no question about it.
And so Casey Anthony is.
Yeah, very.
She's really hot. Well, she's an attractive girl. There's no question. But and it makes it all the more weird and tragic that this beautiful young woman would be on trial for the murder of her own child. Now, what doesn't that? How does that play into your thinking as a young single man when you look at a beautiful young woman, but you know that there is a possibility she murdered her own toddler daughter?
it's bad, and I do feel bad, but if, you know, you have to understand from my point of view, and it's difficult, Mr. Henry, there's no question it's difficult for people to sort of get in my shoes. I don't know how many people would be put in my shoe, but...
what, in your shoe?
In my, I meant to say two shoes. In both my shoes. But I was a little bit nervous there, but...
That's all right.
When you're 20, when you're me, when you're Chris Norton, you do have a high level of sass. That I have a lot of sass. You know, I'm not going to, you know, deny the fact that I do have a lot of sass with a lot of women, and so that does tend to outweigh it. And
so you're, just so I know, it outweighs, if you had the chance, let's, you know, man to man here, if you had a chance with Casey Anthony, it wouldn't matter to you at all. Even if she was guilty?
That part I can put out of my mind. But the reason I think more than anything is I wish I would have had sass, you know, with her. There's a lot of single young women out there who are single mothers and want to have sass. And if I'd have had sass with her, it probably would have been just, you know, same thing would have happened. But she would have in her mind right now the memory of the sex that she had with me, and that would make her want to get out of jail, you know. As she's guilty, the only thing she'd be able to do is to go to jail and with good behavior. But my sex, or at least the sex she has with me, would force her to be more good behavior because of the sexuality, you know.
Because of the sex she has with you, it would be so good...
That
that she would be good behavior in prison to get out to go back to you?
If they didn't have no conjugal visit. If they have no conjugal visit, do you know the conjugal visit is when you get sass in prison. But there's no John and Ken visit.
John and Ken visit?
I mean, conjugal visit.
Conjugal?
What's that again?
Conjugal. A conjugal visit is when... Two people can...
Yeah, no, I know what it is. I'm sure I know what it says, you know. Okay, is that what it is? Having says. I just don't know what it's called, conjugal, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, it ain't called a John and Ken visit, that's for sure, huh?
Yeah, well, I misspoke there, Mr. Ray. I mean, you know, I'm not no talk show host or anything. But anyway, if they did not have no conjugal visit, or however you say it, then, yeah, she'd be trying to get out of prison faster so that she could... come and meet me for to have the sass again, and that way that's why she want to get out. But I mean, right now she's in bad shape.
Well, I mean, let's look at this situation. You're a single guy. You're out there dating. I think you said that your place is the what's your favorite bar?
My favorite bar, probably my home away from home, is Rusty Pelican.
Rusty Pelican.
Rusty Pelican.
Oh, the Rusty Pelican.
Yeah, and Manhattan Beach and. I like going there. I like go Josh Slocum's Newport Beach sometimes. That's where I go. That's where I meet a lot of girls that I do wind up having sex with. Probably every time I go to the Pelican, I probably wind up, you know, going home, bringing one back to my condo. And so that's what's going on right now out there. There's a lot of single women. They got little tiny kids at home. They don't want to be tied down to a little kid. They want to have sex. And I'll say, well, here I am, baby, but you got to go take care of your kid. Now, what's it going to be? You want to take care of your kids? It's the sass. You know?
Well, if you say something like that, what if you run into a Casey Anthony type who says, oh, wow, I'd rather have sex with Chris. I think I'll go and kill my kid.
That's the problem. You know, that's something we were, you know, me, Steve, Dave, and Rick and me. All three of us.
Who did you say?
What?
Who'd you just say?
Oh, Steve, Dave, Rick, and me. Steve, Dave, Rick, and me. Yeah, that's three.
That's four.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that's four. It's all four of us agree that no matter how good the sass is, even if I could have sass with Casey, I would not have sass with Casey Anthony if I thought that sass was going to result in the little kid, you know, what happened to that kid. So I would not have no sass.
Okay. Well, Chris, thank God. You know.
Thank God what?
Thank God you never met her, had sex with her.